flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get back to Bills Chiefs in just a moment, but meanwhile, interesting turn in the Dallas Cowboys head coaching search. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, the new betting favorite to become the next head coach for the Dallas Cowboys is Brian Schottenheimer.
Yep.
Who's been the offensive coordinator for the last 2 seasons, but has not been calling plays. Mike McCarthy has been calling plays. So the internal candidate is now the odds-on favorite. My, we have come a long way from Deion Sanders being the supposed favorite for this job. Deion Sanders and Brian Schottenheimer, not exactly the same resume for those two guys.
Yeah, it just seems like Jerry Jones is once again doing what Jerry Jones does and picking somebody that first and foremost he's comfortable with, second, will not steal any spotlight from him. It's going to be the Jerry show. And if it was Brian Schottenheimer, that is the key reason, just so Jerry could keep running the team exactly how he wants to.
I mean, this would be, I think, devastating for Cowboys fans. And I'm not trying to be dramatic here. I think you would be devastated. If you're going to have Brian Schottenheimer, why wouldn't you just keep Mike McCarthy? I mean,
Good question. Does
Schottenheimer really have these other ideas that's somehow going to make Dak Prescott, what, better? Or CeeDee Lamb more wide open? He's been on the staff. I thought the reason why you got rid of McCarthy is because you were not pleased with how the team played in the playoffs. Well, this guy's on the staff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the argument would be that he's better suited to be a head coach. Like, he could be an effective leader. It does seem like it's part of a bigger group project to get Jason Witten the job at some point.
Oh, so he just be keeping the seat warm.
Or, yeah, like, it doesn't seem like it's just Brian Schottenheimer, here's the job. Feels like, or something else is coming with it. Like, if Brian Schottenheimer becomes a head coach, I have 2 key questions. Who's the offensive coordinator and who's the defensive coordinator? I'm not totally convinced that Robert Saleh is not going to end up with this job either. Somebody like that. Somebody who nobody else is really super hot on.
Okay, but at least Robert Saleh's from outside the building. Aren't you trying to get some fresh ideas?
Oh, I see. So the internal part bothers you, not the fact that it's just Brian Schottenheimer.
Well, I think, listen, Brian Schottenheimer's been an assistant coach since 1997. His dad is a legendary head coach, Marty Schottenheimer. May he rest in peace. He's never been a head coach. So now, all of a sudden, now he's going to be the head coach? He's been an assistant since 1997. It's the year 2025. If someone wanted to hire Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach, he would check all the boxes. Dad, legendary coach. Yeah. Like, why is he not Kyle Shanahan? If, you know, type of thing.
I think you could make a really good argument that he'd be better as a head coach than a offensive coordinator play caller, because he wasn't very good as an offensive coordinator play caller. He's always like, if you hire him as a head coach and get a good play caller, you might be, maybe he's a good, maybe he's like one of those personalities like Matt Rhule was, where he's just a leader of men, an organizer, just like some of the CEO qualities. Maybe Jerry sees a leader in him, even if he's not like the king of X's and O's. He's not Kyle Shanahan.
Well, but here's my thing. Again, Brian Schottenheimer is a lifer in this business.
Yeah.
You don't think someone else would identify these leadership qualities when he was coaching for the Jets or he was coaching for the Seattle Seahawks or now, I guess now with Dallas? The guy's basically worked all over the league and nobody else ever thought to hire him. Let's hear from that. That's a red flag to me. Let's hear from Ian Rappaport. Says Brian Schottenheimer, again, the internal candidate, just the fourth Cowboys interview in this cycle.
Where they are right now is they are interviewing Brian Schottenheimer. I don't get the sense that anything is done or imminent, famous last words, but that is where it stands right now. But obviously, they've only interviewed four candidates now, including him. That goes to show you how real it is. Now, there's some other things that clearly they're waiting on. Could they be waiting for Kellen Moore to be finished with the playoffs? For sure they could. But to me, at the very least, this feels real.
Okay, there's more from Rappaport about why the interest in Schottenheimer has skyrocketed Perloff to the point where he is now the betting favorite to take the job.
For the Cowboys, I know we talked about this, Tom. There is definitely a thought that for Jerry Jones, he didn't maybe want to pay top dollar for a head coach. This probably wouldn't be that. It's at least something the Cowboys are exploring, and we'll see what direction it goes.
Man, can you imagine being a Cowboy fan? You've got one of the highest valuations of your team, right? You're one of the most valuable franchises in all of North American sports, and by extension, the world. Like, you're up there with the Yankees and compete with Manchester United.
You're number one on the Forbes list.
And you're cheaping out on a head coach. Yeah. Can you imagine?
You know who can imagine that? Dallas Cowboys fans. They're 100% used to this. They know exactly. They know this coaching cycle like the back of their hand. Do you think they're surprised by any of this?
I think that it's something that when we talk about criticisms of Jerry Jones, you're talking about he doesn't want to share the spotlight with people, and that's why he hires Lesser. If he's cheaping out on head coaches, that should be the number one thing that goes against him in any conversation about Jerry Jones, being cheap. Because we would talk about that with every other owner in sports. There's no way he should get a pass for this.
Did you watch last offseason? I think we talked about it pretty much every day. I'm all in, and then he went all out.
But football's a salary cap sport, so there's only a certain amount of money you can spend.
But generally, though, his whole, like, he's conservative is all get out when it comes to anything financial.
See, to me, where the cheapness really comes in, if you're talking about a head coach and maybe by extension the coordinators or whatever, is because this doesn't count on your cap. Like, this is just you deciding, do you want to pony up? That's it. And if he's
I don't think it's just the money. I think it's ego, too. I think it's his ego. I don't think it's just the money. I think it's tied in the spotlight. He didn't want to even talk to Ben Johnson, who'd be the most expensive coach, because he doesn't want to bring in this guy who's going to get $15 million a year and command the respect that comes with $15 million a year. And if you give the head coach all that money, then he runs that building. So I don't think it's just being cheap. I think it's what the money says.
855-212-4227. All right, so the short list here, you got Brian Schottenheimer. I mean, is Dion even around anymore? This thing, like, went away. I haven't heard one thing about Deion Sanders over the last week being a part of this, being potentially part of the coaching staff. The report came out that Deion met with the athletic director for Colorado to ask for more NIL money and more money for his assistant coaches and was basically told no, and then we got nothing.
Do you believe that?
So we have Brian Schottenheimer. Yep. We've got Deion Sanders.
Kellen Moore,
which is basically like an internal hire. Is it not?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, offensive coordinator, and then I think Mike McCarthy was like, I got to get him out of here because I got to call plays. If he's not calling plays, what do you do around here? He wants to call plays. He goes to the Chargers. They have a terrible season. Then he gets hired by your Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility they're waiting to see how these two games play out.
Anyone think Kellen Moore is going to be a good head coach?
Yeah,
for the negative, but like, where's the evidence?
Kellen Moore gets to the Super Bowl. Odds are that he'll be a head coach at some point because, I mean, Shane Steichen got a head coaching job. And Cliff Kingsbury, too. If he wins this game, he's got a job.
Yeah. Well, maybe Cliff Kingsbury. I always thought that would be an interesting one for the Cowboys. I'm surprised.
He's high up in odds. He's third. It goes Shoddy, Kellen Moore, then Kingsbury. And then I think Joe Brady.
Who hasn't even had an interview.
If Buffalo beats Kansas City, then Joe Brady would theoretically be in the mix. If it was a normal team, you would want the guys who are coaching the teams that get to the Super Bowl. That's how it works. And by the way, then there's the Saleh thing, because I can picture Robert Saleh walking into a room and charming the socks off of Jerry Jones. Can't you? Don't you see him like, man, I like this guy. I like the cut of his jib.
I mean, that's how we're making decisions?
Yes, it's Jerry
cut
Jones.
Of the jib?
Oh my God. You'd be lucky if that was what they were making decisions on.
And honestly, I'll take cut of the jib over. He was the cheapest option. What are we doing here? That's so Mickey Mouse.
They kicked Bill Parcells out of the building to get a triumvirate of Chan Gailey, Wade Phillips, and Dave Campo.
Okay,
of course.
But here's the thing. Parcells is an all-timer. He's an all-time legendary coach. Yeah. He does wear out his welcome places, though, because sure. if he really was that easy to get along with, he would have never left the Giants.
Then why did they ever hire another Parcells? Why did they go after Bill Belichick this year? Because obviously that's not their MO.
Yeah, the Cowboys being cheap to me is the biggest offense. That's it. There's no excuse for it. Your tickets aren't getting any cheaper. Your parking, I'm assuming they own the parking lots. They're not getting any cheaper. Beer's not getting any cheaper. Jerseys aren't getting any cheaper. That might be collectively bargained. You know what I'm saying. It's all expensive. And people love to tell me, oh, Jerry, he only wants to win, only wants to win. That is not true. He wants to win his way, maybe, but that hasn't proven to be successful at all. Considering every other team in the NFC has been to the NFC Championship game since you were last there in 1995. And if you cheap out on a head coach, what do you think's going to happen? It's like putting bad gas in a Ferrari, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's the money. I think it's the ego. If you had a fantasy football team and you were like bringing in a junior partner who is brilliant, then everyone's going to credit him for winning the title. Mm. Jerry does not want that. He had it with Jimmy. He never wants that again.
855-212-4227. Brian Schottenheimer, Cowboys fans. What would your reaction be to that?
I think they're pretty numb at this point. I would imagine
you can't hurt them anymore.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, they haven't been to an NFC title game since 1995. I don't think Schottenheimer is the straw that broke the camel's back. They're broken, Maggie.
Well, I mean, that's a shame.
By the way, Schottenheimer's just whatever. Does it make a difference whether they hire Robert Saleh or Brian Schottenheimer? Like, it's all like in that bucket of eh, right? Like, this doesn't, it's not going to impact. If they're not hiring Belichick, then what are we doing here? Kellen Moore, like you said, like, nobody's going to have any faith in any of these guys. They all seem like a version of the same guy.
Well, that's why Deion Sanders was so interesting.
Yes,
at least.
It was a reset, and they're not going to do that.
855-212-4227. Been going through some of the rules that I'm creating for anyone who wants to jump on the Bills bandwagon this weekend. I consider myself, I don't know if I'm the president, but I'm definitely in the executive branch of national Bills fans. And I have rules now.
Are there three branches of Bills fans?
Yeah, it's just like our government. You know?
Is there like a court
the judicial,
to decide? Now that table didn't
executive.
Fully break. You're going to have to jump again, son.
In the legislative, yeah. It's just like we learned in civics class. So as, you know, someone with this status, perch, if you will, I think it's only right to put together some rules. And really where this comes from is people just being really sick of the Chiefs. It's not because anyone really loves Buffalo. Let's get that for sure straightened out. Because it's not like these guys are new on the scene. You know, Josh Allen's been around since 2018, and the team's won 5 straight division titles. So they've been around. My first rule to jumping on the Bills bandwagon, if you'd like to, is you must have spent at least one winter in a cold weather place. And I'm talking about the whole thing, October to May. It doesn't have to be Buffalo, but you have to have experienced the cold if you want to be in Bills Mafia. Are you ready for my second rule?
Oh, yeah, we're doing another rule. Let's go.
Another rule for you guys. The second rule, if you want to be a part of Bills Mafia, another team that you root for, whoever else is in your arsenal of teams that you're a fan of, must have experienced some heartbreak at some point. You have to have something bad in your history. Maybe if a shorthand is good, like the fumble, the catch. You know, you got to have something where you on the losing end of something that's named, because I think that the Bills unofficially lead the league in bad plays that have nicknames.
Wow, so the name makes it hard. Like, everyone's got a bad play in their sports history, but an actual name, right now you're narrowing it down a bit. I mean, there are a lot of them, but that does knock some people out.
I mean, I'm willing to take it to a committee, even if your particularly bad thing doesn't have a name necessarily, but we all know it. You know?
We give a lot of names out when we think about it. Yeah, give an example of a name.
So, like, if you were a Saints fan and you are on the wrong end of the Minneapolis Miracle, right? Or you're on the wrong end of
the bad
PI call. Like, you could apply now, but again, you're going to have had to spend a winter in the cold.
It was snowing in New Orleans
yesterday. I saw that. snow on Bourbon Street.
So they count now.
My mom asked me yesterday if that's normal, if there's for snow to fall in Texas and Louisiana. No, Ma, it's not.
I'm fascinated by your family, Manny.
As am I.
So that's rule number two.
Okay.
Any other team you root for, you must have experienced some type of heartbreak, or else you're just not really going to understand what this whole thing's about.
Does 20 years of Knicks ineptitude count? Or the Miracle at the Meadowlands Part 2?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm in again.
A little closer.
That's the Buff Fumble, so I'm still in.
I mean, you could also do Michael Jordan's double nickel. Like, you have a few for the Knicks. That's fine.
I was thinking when somebody, did Van Gundy bite Mourning's leg?
He's just hung on to it.
Hanging on to it for dear life.
Somebody bites him.
Mike Tyson. Yeah, oh, Mike Tyson.
It was Danny Ainge and Tree Rollins was the bite, but it was similar.
No, I don't think Van Gundy ever bit anybody, although he looks like a vampire sometimes because he's just so tired looking. Anyway.
Yeah. No, Manny, I think you definitely qualify. But I don't even I'm not applying for a fan base. I'm already out on this one. But my team's alive, so I obviously can't apply anyway.
Well,
your team can't be alive.
This,
yeah.
And you're not anti-Chiefs.
No, I don't.
Right. This is for the people who are sick of the Chiefs,
who
I noticed are coming over to the Bills.
Chiefs are Eagles 2.0. Why would I be sick of them? I think they're half the same people who were in Philly's building or over in Kansas City.
855-212-4227. I have more rules. We'll continue on throughout the morning if you want to join the bandwagon. Let's go to Kevin, who's in San Antonio. What's up, Kev?
Hey, not much. I've been under the weather and so forth, and I got my tooth pulled. So, I've been chilling, listening to your show. The thing about the Dallas Cowboys, this has been a broken record after Jimmy Johnson has been fired.
Yeah.
This has been a broken record all day long. I don't care, he hired the best coach. He go fine, just like Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells has the backbone to go ahead and just say, hey, you, I'm in control. And then all of a sudden, he fired him. He just said he got tired of it.
Kevin, I understand, and, thank you so much for calling in. Glad that you're feeling better. And to be fair, our show probably a little better when you're on painkillers. I could see that. Just everything becomes a little bit funnier. But here's the thing. This is why the Parcells thing is I get it. Cowboys fans are mad about it. But the Giants said goodbye to Parcells. The Cowboys said goodbye to Parcells. The New England Patriots said goodbye to Parcells. The Miami Dolphins said goodbye to Parcells. At some point, he's a legend. I'm not saying it's right, but he's a little maybe Jim Harbaugh-esque where it's like he can wear out the welcome sometimes and it can be a little intense where at some point you have to move on or he feels like he has to move on. So, for letting Parcells walk out the door, that was going to be inevitable. He wasn't going to be your coach for 25 years.
Well, how long was Parcells in New York? A long time.
He was in New York for a long time, but he went other places.
Yeah, I mean, you got the sense that
8 years in New York, four years in Dallas, 4 years in New England, 3 years with the Jets.
You just get the sense that all 4 years were torture for Jerry Jones. Forget Parcells. He fired Jimmy Johnson for no reason in the height of a Super Bowl run. That's never been. Name another number of situation where a team is doing nothing but winning Super Bowls and they fired the coach.
I'm not excusing Jerry's behavior.
No, it's consistent. It never changes. He will always be about Jerry.
855-212-4227. If they hire Brian Schottenheimer, and this is not even about Brian, I'd say this about any internal candidate on the offensive side when you just got rid of Mike McCarthy. That would be one of the low moments for the Dallas Cowboys. Seriously. You have Perloff's Eagles and the Commanders are fighting for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And you're going to do an internal hire and really just mail this thing in? That is a dark day. I get what you're talking about, Perloff. It might be inevitable, but that is just pathetic. It feels lazy, too, which is not something I would generally ascribe to the Cowboys. I don't think they're lazy.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, but that's definitely it's not really the thing with the Cowboys. It's not hard work. It's they work hard to make sure that they're doing it exactly like they're doing it. I don't know.
Don't tell me they want to win.
Well, nah. They do want to win, but they want to win their way. They want to win.
And it's been gangbusters so far.
I think the 3-12-5 seasons gave the Joneses a little confidence. And maybe that was a dangerous thing. They're ooh, we made some good draft picks here. We know what we're doing. And, ooh, boy.
Oh boy. 855-212-4227. Yeah. All right, question for you. You're welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys, of course. You can listen to our show in a variety of ways. The Infinity Sports Network of affiliates, who we love and we appreciate you so much. The free to download Odyssey app, which is crystal clear. Take it with you wherever you go. You can listen to us on Sirius XM, guys. New channel 375. Babe Ruth, John Elway, Reggie Bush at USC. That's what we landed on for 375. That's what you landed on. Okay, I'm sorry. You wanted what?
Allen Iverson, Donovan McNabb, Ron Jaworski.
Yes, because every sports fan just has those three numbers right at the top of the dome.
Isn't that 357?
Yes. But yeah, well, I think in this game, you have to go in order.
Yes.
Well, I just...
375, Pearl. Let's not confuse people.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you. In my head, I'm like the three, the five. Okay, whatever. There's a three, there's a seven, and there's a five.
I think Babe Ruth... We all know John Elway. Everyone knows it. Reggie Bush. You can think of him. Think about it. Him in that Trojan uniform running for touchdowns. Wear number 5. 375.
With money in his back pocket.
Well, don't hate the player. Is it dollar bills hanging out of the back of his pocket?
Talking about a dinosaur takeoff. Reggie Bush took money. Oh, my God.
You can also watch the show. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And on X.
He wasn't an amateur.
855-212-4227. Okay, coming up next, now that Ryan Day has won a national title, who is the next college football head coach that is feeling the heat? Can't say hot seat necessarily, but who's feeling the pressure the most to win a national title? I think Ryan Day gets a reprieve for, what, a week and a half from the Ohio fan base?
Yeah, I think he's... I mean, listen, Urban Meyer's... walks on water. He only won one.
Exactly.
Feels like he won more there because he won in Florida too.
855-212-4227. We'll answer that question next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Maggie is setting rules for joining the Bills bandwagon in front of Sunday's game. You're not going to need any rules. You're not going to be able to keep people off the bandwagon if they face my Eagles in the Super Bowl. I think that's an easy choice for a neutral fan.
Yeah, there's nobody who's clamoring to get on the Eagles bandwagon.
No, I mean, I think Saquon is popular. I mean, I would like Saquon, but that green is tough for people to handle.
No, I don't have to worry about that. But yes, you can't just waltz over to the Bills bandwagon simply because you don't like the Chiefs. There's a couple... stipulations, a couple rules. We already went over two of them. One is you must have lived in a cold weather place for at least one winter, October to May. And the other is any other team you root for must have experienced some type of heartbreak, preferably something that has a nickname. If you want to understand what it's like to really be Bills Mafia, we will get into which college football head coach needs a national title now the most after Ryan Day checked that off his list. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines.
Is there a rule about having an 11-year-old son with Josh Allen and DeMar Hamlin jerseys and a Stephon Diggs jersey?
Yeah, you can't come.
How does that...
Can't play.
Do I get in through that?
Because
how does that work?
Because you purchased the jerseys?
I don't think I bought all three of them, but at least one of them.
Yeah. I mean, if you actually spend money on the jerseys, you're allowed in. I mean, you have the clothes.
Yeah, listen, that's fine. That's okay.
So Jake and I are in, or I can come in through Jake?
No, Jake has not read that there's an age limit. If you're under the age of 17, then you're automatically in because we can indoctrinate you now and we can have you for life. So
sure.
You're still young and impressionable
not
enough.
A cult.
No. This is just how we talk and operate. Mm-hmm. He can waltz right in. You still have to... check some of the boxes because you're not wearing any Buffalo stuff. Your kid's wearing it.
Well,
I was going to say,
I'm
you bought all of it.
Yeah.
I meant in your private time.
You
already
told
us you have jersey rules. You will not wear a jersey with another man's name on it who's currently playing.
That is correct.
Like every man.
I did not know this rule
because you don't listen when I talk.
I think I wasn't here that day.
That's also possible.
Yeah. You will not wear an active jersey?
No, I'm too old for that.
Same.
What? Yeah,
you don't wear a guy who's currently playing's jersey as a grown man.
So if you were an Eagles fan, you wouldn't wear a Hurts jersey or a Brown jersey or a Barkley jersey to the game?
Nope.
No.
Yeah,
so
I didn't get this either. But EJ and Bogish were very staunchly in this category. I'm like, I see grown men all the time wearing Josh Allen jerseys. This is the best thing that's happened to the franchise in our lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm on board. You're not rocking it. It's a great point.
EJ, you're not rocking a Jalen Brunson jersey or a Carl Anthony Towns jersey?
No. That's cap. Our good friend Boomer Esiason got us a Precious Achiuwa jersey that he gifted to me, and I'm figuring out what to do with it. It's probably going to get, you know, displayed kind of like Maggie's Fred Jackson jersey. I'm not putting it on. That's
you
never happened.
You can get a Precious Achiuwa jersey?
Well, Boomer has got connections.
It's got to be custom ordered.
So. Yeah. I didn't even know, like, they made jerseys for, like, the end of the bench guys. But, okay, go ahead.
I meant to ask you, because I was there that day when this jersey fell from the skies. That looks almost game used. Like, it's a legit jersey.
I'm, like, scared to ask Boomer Esiason if that's an authentic game-worn jersey. I keep
wanting just accept it. No questions.
It's definitely authentic. It's not the entry-level jersey.
Wait, how did he give this to you? What happened? I don't know the story.
That was so fun.
Me and Manny had a Knicks trivia off to determine. This was after the show 2 weeks ago.
And on the fan?
No, this was right outside of our studio.
Oh, in the newsroom.
Yeah, in the newsroom, yeah. And we went back and forth. There was
on Sirius 376, that channel.
I don't know. It's confused people. We're on 375.
It was on Infinity the Ocho.
Yeah.
No, me and Manny had a trivia off, and it was a tough battle. Manny gave me a real run for the money.
It
and
was
it was a tie. Right, you're right. Actually, I forgot about it. It was a tie.
So you guys were asking each other trivia questions?
No, Boomer was asking us trivia questions.
Got
and then it ended up in a coin flip, and I won because tails never fails.
Wow. How do we not know about this?
Wait, and you guys, it was a tie because you guys got everyone right?
Yeah, Boomer said, like, name the 1970 starting five, and they went boom, 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 boom.
Wow, that's great.
That's also an all-time team.
I mean, yeah, but there's some landmines.
Do like the 78 team.
But that was not
different.
A good team.
I mean,
Bob McAdoo, I think, was on that team.
Rory Sparrow, Bernard King.
Bernard not there yet. No, it was that. So he's like, all right, I won because, again, tails never fail. So now I have a probably authentic, maybe game-worn Precious Achiuwa jersey.
And he just had it laying around and he handed it to you, or he got it? Oh, wow.
Because I think he probably has the same rule. He's not wearing a Precious Achiuwa jersey. He's a grown man.
Yeah. I don't think Boomer's wearing jerseys.
It was sent to them. I don't remember the full details of their bit, but it was sent to them because of a thing that they did on the air.
Oh, got it. Actually, you know, Boomer might wear a hockey sweater.
He would. Say,
I'm wrong about
I've
that.
I've seen him in Rangers sweaters.
Yeah,
like that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's wearing a Mika Zibanejad jersey.
What? Definitely not.
Like, I don't think he's wearing
is that.
Exactly.
Oh,
as a current Ranger.
I was hoping it was a supermodel. I didn't know what words. I've never heard of. What was either name? Say that name again.
You know what's exciting? In 2 days from now, he's going to have a real deep thought out take on the Rangers after being stumped by Mika Zibanejad 48 hours prior.
This is going to be new Boogie Flan.
Yep.
By the way, poor Boogie.
No, broke his hand.
Bummer.
Oh, did he really? I did not see that.
Yeah, come on, Manny.
Oh, John Will.
Now he's out for the season.
Done.
I know Big Dave somewhere. He's not happy about the Boogie Flan injury, but he was so rooting for John Calipari's demise in the first year at Arkansas, and he hasn't won an SEC game yet.
I didn't realize the civil war that was happening between Big Blue Nation and people who support Calipari.
Oh, it's rough.
I went through a Twitter rabbit hole yesterday. It is crazy.
No, they are reveling.
I think Jay Williams is going to fight somebody tomorrow. I'm not joking. Like a radio host. It's serious. I was like, wow, you guys really hate Cal.
That escalated quickly. Bogus has headlines.
So this is exactly the type of sentence I was expecting to write when I was studying broadcasting at Fordham. Four Chilean nationals have been arrested in connection to the burglary of Joe Burrow's home. The men are facing multiple charges. The police report doesn't mention Burrow by name, but says LSU and Bengals items were found in one of their cars. The men told police they've been in Ohio to see snow.
Chee, chee, chee. Le, le, le. Chee, chee, chee. Le, le, le.
I was wondering about this. I'm like, okay, so it's a targeted attack, they thought, on Burrow, right? Because he's an athlete. And then you're going to keep his LSU gear around the car?
I know.
I mean, I know criminals are stupid, but this seems like take the cake.
Do we know if these are, because there was a word that maybe these were all connected with the other burglaries, like Mahomes and Kelsey, like, is there any word on that yet?
So the police statement over said that the arrests were part of an ongoing multi-state investigation of, like, celebrity home robberies. Now, I don't know if that means that these guys were involved in the other ones, or there's a bigger web of people involved, gotcha. But, like, they didn't not connect this to all
of
the other
check.
Ones.
Well, just check. Are there Mahomes' game-worn cleats?
<That too>.
Like, it looks like these guys are probably living in a Lids, some kind of sports authority.
We also never got to the end of the influencer woman that called the police, right? We still don't know why she was there and what her
gone.
Deal with. I mean, she still exists, like she's still on social media, but like there's been no further explanation of her Joe Burrow connection, right?
No, because Joe's so private. I'm sure if she said anything, their relationship would probably be over.
I think Joe's stiff arm in national media, I think, really helped that not go further.
It doesn't seem, and this is the difference, I think, a little between if this had been L.A. or New York, you're going to have paparazzi staking her out, following her to her car. Yeah. I mean, being in Cincinnati, maybe people are respecting her privacy a little bit more.
Yeah. To regular football news, Josh McDaniels apparently hired for a third stint in New England. He'll be Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator. And the Saints had to postpone head coach interviews to later this week because of a rare snowstorm in the South. Giants OC Mike Kafka, Dolphins DC Anthony Weaver should now get their second interviews again later this week. Today's poll question, if you lose by 4 points, but Sydney Sweeney came to watch you play, did you really lose? I'm asking for the Nets.
They get it into Claxton. Hands it off for D'Angelo Russell near the midcourt line. Russell high on the left, gives to Cam Johnson. Quick three, straight on. Off the heel, bounce high in the air. Hart comes in, gets the rebound, and calls a timeout. With 12 seconds to go.
Would I wear a Sydney Sweeney Nets jersey? Maybe. That's Chris Carino on Nets Radio. That was Brooklyn's last chance. They lose at home in front of Sydney to the Knicks. 99-95. Carl Anthony Towns, 25 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Meow. 9 in a row, Bogus. Nine straight Knicks wins over the Nets.
Yeah, I'd hope so. EJ, have you seen who plays for the Nets these days?
I was a little surprised that Sydney Sweeney got this much attention. Not because I'm surprised she gets attention, but there's celebrities at these basketball games all the time.
Not in Brooklyn, sister.
Yeah, Brooklyn?
It's not like she showed up at an OKC. Like, that'd be kind of random.
It's not that far off. It's about as random as it gets these days.
It was so bad that the celebrities that kept showing were Spike Lee, Ben Stiller, and then Sydney. Like, they were no net celebrities. It was like Spike and Ben are there for the Knicks, and then Sydney's here.
And then they had Mr. Whammy.
Yeah, that guy. That guy's cool, by the way. We've done some stories on him in New York One. But, like, there was no...
That's the guy who walks around with the pots and pants?
No, that's the guy with who does the weird fingers
he tries
on
to
the
jinx
free throw
people.
Line.
Yeah.
The jinx, and he definitely works, by the way. Those guys miss free throws. Anyway, but no, there was no Nets celebrities. Even for what was a quote-unquote primetime game.
Are there even Nets celebrities?
Yeah, WFAN's Evan Roberts.
Oh, he was there.
I know he was.
He stormed out as soon as that ball hit the back of the iron. He didn't even want to stay for the Knicks celebration. 9 in a row.
Meow.
I mean, they only had one Cam and no Ben Simmons
meow.
Last night. Of course you guys won. By just 4 points, though. There was an NBA trade yesterday. The Suns have dealt their unprotected 2031 first-round pick to the Jazz for first-rounders in 25, 27, and 29. Very sweet of them to think that there would be a 2031. Maybe this is Phoenix gearing up to trade for Jimmy Butler.
Man, this Phoenix owner has got to be... I appreciate when teams try to go all in. Perloff, I think you do too. But this is a disaster. Like, how do you not see that you are just throwing bad money after bad money, right? Like, does anyone think Jimmy Butler is going to come and they're going to be a title team?
Not me. I don't know about you, Pearl.
Not a chance.
I think it gives them a better chance than they have now. But what's the... I mean, the thing is, like, where are they going otherwise?
Well, this is the point, though. The trade they made yesterday, which was kind of confusing because it was just draft picks, is basically giving away future draft picks for a current draft pick, right? So they are trying to gear up and get some assets to trade for Jimmy Butler, but it's really putting all your eggs in this basket.
I did see one person make an interesting point, though. Could you support what the Suns are doing compared to what, like, the Lakers and Warriors are doing, where they seem to have given up? It seems like they're like, hey, we're not good, so we're just going to be mediocre. Like, the Suns aren't picking a direction, whether you like it or not.
I know, but it's just like, do you get credit? It's like working harder, not smarter. Like, do you get credit just because you're signing famous guys? Can they play together? Do they have any chemistry? Are they going to be healthy enough? Like, it just doesn't... It seems like you're just picking stars.
But if you're an owner, though, aren't you trying to get something out of the end of Durant? Like, your time frame is now. You have, like, a year.
I think I've seen so many organizations now make this mistake, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the Nets we were talking about.
Yeah, we were just talking about them, and it's crazy.
But you have to, like, you're in a tough spot. Like, you got to chase something with Durant. Otherwise, it would just let it fizzle into nothing. Well, what's the point of that? Why even bother? Might as well trade Durant.
I thought there might have been a world where they were doing that.
If I may, this happened last night in Edmonton.
Picked off Skinner. who, remember, has won his last nine following a loss. Drysdale hands off. Corey Perry puts Edmonton right back in the game at 3-2. Logan Thompson. There's shrapnel on the ice. And the Caps are upset about it.
Something came over the glass, and he says it distracted him.
The thing that came over the glass, thrown by a fan, that distracted Washington goalie Logan Thompson was a basket of nachos. Oiler winger Corey Perry was basically straddling the chips and the cheese when he took that shot. Here's Washington head coach Spencer Carberry.
There's honestly, I don't think there's much they can do. I didn't even notice it, and then the guys were yelling, "There's nachos on the ice," and I don't know. Can we challenge that?
The Caps did win the game 3-2. Spencer also asked if they kept the nachos for the coaches post game.
How do you waste nachos? Nachos is an elite food.
And you can't accidentally spill them onto the hockey rink.
Definitely not.
Well, I was thinking it's a bad cleanup on ice. All the cheese and then the nachos are going to break. Like, that's not easy. You're grossed out by it.
Yeah.
Now I want nachos.
I'm grossed out by stadium nachos. You guys consume that garbage?
Ugh. Yeah, that's not good.
But yeah, that's another thing. But still, once you've committed, you can't throw them over the ice. Come on.
There's no cheese in that cheese sauce. I don't know what it is, but...
It's called Yellow 57.
I don't want it anywhere near me. Feels radioactive. Bogish, thank you so much. See you guys on the phones. We're asking the question, which college football coach, head coach, now needs to win a title above all else? Ryan Day, he got his. He's a made man now. At least for the next little bit. Who's next up? 855-212-4227. It's Maggie Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, Ryan Day off the hot seat, at least until the next game against Michigan. But no, off the hot seat, Perloff, because he finally won a national championship at Ohio State. He's a made man, as I said.
I think you can debate the Michigan losses. Like, is there any chance that Ryan Day still has a slightly warm seat if he loses again to Michigan? But I don't think so. I think this is, like, you're done. You just said
Maybe.
Like, you're done, right? This debate is over.
I think, I don't know, the Ohio State fan base is can be a little fickle. But I think that he has finally silenced all the doubters. I called it the greatest run to a championship that we've seen. All the teams they beat to get there, they are the rightful and worthy champion, in my opinion.
Well,
I think he's off the hot seat.
I do disagree with that take a little bit. I think everyone thinks he had the best team and he didn't screw it up too bad. I think that's kind of where people land on Ryan Day.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. But on this part, who's the next guy? Right? We're always talking about who's the next. So who's the next guy who's feeling the most pressure to win the title? Jeff's in Tucson has a thought about it. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Perloff, are you wearing an Eagles jersey today?
Nope.
No. Okay.
You can watch us on YouTube.
I know, but I'm driving, too. I can't watch it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I drive for a living. So I'm going to go with Sarkisian. He's the next one. Sark is on the hot seat. With all that talent he can get down there, all that NIL money he's going to be having, he's got to be drawing a bunch of people. Now, the other question I got for you guys is, can the quarterback he lost to the portal, can he come back out of the portal and go back to Ohio State?
Oh, but Quinn Ewers you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Ewers, and Jeff, thanks for the call. Ewers, and drive safely, Ewers declared for the draft, but he has until, I think it's the second week in February, to pull his name out of the draft and go into the portal. Could he go back to Ohio State? Yeah, I don't see if there's a rule about it. Quinn Ewers started his career at Ohio State, but never really played. He just enrolled.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Old.
Is that a rule? I mean, I have no idea.
But why couldn't you go back?
Basketball players go back all the time.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Transfer. Oh, people. Well, they go back when you don't sign with another school. So you're allowed to leave a school, come back. I mean, in the old days, you definitely couldn't do that.
I mean, there are basketball. I mean, I don't know about football. I know there are basketball players who have left a school,
played somewhere else,
and played somewhere else, and came back to that school for their last year.
Like, I don't know why it would be different.
Penny Hardaway has like three guys like that. Memphis is weird.
Yeah, but I don't know if college football ever had that.
I can't think of an example, but this is, we're in kind of a new territory. I don't see why not. I
mean, you could basically play college football for 6 years now, like, right. And you can bounce around and you can travel, transfer without impunity. So, I think you can probably double back.
Yeah, I guess why not. But that being said, it would feel obviously like I think he left Ohio State. There's got to be some ill will or some feelings. Like, it'd be surprising to me if he'd go back.
Well, money can patch over a lot of that ill will. But listen, Ohio State also has Julian Sayin. They've got a guy. Supposedly the next guy is there. So I don't know about yours. I think he is going to come back to college, though. Do you think he's going to stay in the draft?
Well, it's a weak quarterback draft, so this might be his best chance.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I don't know. I think
that would be my one reason. I would certainly wouldn't bet against you on that take, but I do kind of think that this is the year to go in there. Teams are really desperate.
You know, as far as like the next person I think who needs to win the title, I know this is going to sound crazy because they haven't been a head coach for very long, but I think you're going to see maybe a little start to ratchet up on Dan Lanning a bit. And the reason why is basically a compliment to Dan Lanning, which is everyone believes that the Oregon coach is a really good coach. We think he could have had that Alabama job if he wanted it.
Definitely.
Right? So he's got the talent, he's got the resources at Oregon. And they showed that the Big Ten is not too big of an assignment. I mean, he came in and won the conference in the first year. So I think that Dan Lanning, you might start to feel a little from the fan base like, hey, where's our national title? We're right up here with all the big boys. We should have the same expectation as all of them.
I think you're right. I mean, but I think the pressure is different. I think it's a little bit like he's in Oregon. It's the fan base is different. I mean, this is probably
I think they're rabid.
I just think they're a little bit nicer up there.
Mistake the niceness, though, for not wanting to win.
I mean, but I just don't feel like that's a place where they're like, like New York. It's like, if you don't win like a year, like get rid of them. I feel like Oregon people are probably a little more patient. I really do. I think it's the Oregon fan base. I can't see them just being like, Dan Lanning, this is time or get out. This doesn't sound like a vibe.
Well, maybe not, but I think they probably are looking around and wondering like, okay, you know, it's been 3 years. You've been awesome for these three years. What's going on here. Let's finally break through.
I just think Sark is such he's a gigantic name. B's got Arch. And he's got the money of Texas. Like, those three of those things, I think, make him the number one target in the sport. Lincoln Riley would be if Lincoln Riley was anywhere close. Lincoln Riley actually stays out of this conversation because he doesn't even have a chance.
Because his teams have been bad. I think James Franklin stays out of this conversation, too, because nobody has any faith that he can actually win a big game.
But that was actually my second choice, because he's actually got some pressure to win, because all the guys are coming back next year. I think Penn State people might look at this, well, if you're not going to win with this team,
right,
then when are you going to win?
Keep them coming, guys. Who is the next head coach who's feeling the heat? It's funny we didn't mention Kalen DeBoer.
Nice second year. A little early, but yeah.
Eventually, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's comfortable.
855-212-4227. I also want to get to Jerry, who's in San Diego, because I've been laying down some ground rules for anyone who wants to join the Buffalo Bills bandwagon before the AFC Championship game. Kind of noticed a little Chiefs fatigue, a little Chiefs backlash. A lot of people rooting for Buffalo, but There's going to be some rules. Jerry, how are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great.
Hey, you guys are classic. Great show, man. Great show. Listen to you all the time. Listen, I go way back. Chargers fan, lifetime season ticket holders, early 60s. Disappointment, Shane Hill. how many stories you want me to tell you? But let's go back to the blowout with the NFL championship game. 50-0 Buffalo. They just blew Shanahan off the map. And, you know, the Bills' rise to prominence was when O.J. was at his prime, man.
Yep.
You know, he was on everybody's TV throughout the country. The Bills came to, you know, start him back then, but fell off until Big Jim came along and they got their four Super Bowls, lost them. But, you know, in 1980, they had a Chargers were on their way to the Super Bowl. Fouts and the crew was doing their thing, Eric Oriel. And we were going to blow out Buffalo in the championship game in San Diego. And that night they had a Buffalo barbecue. And thousands of fans came out. And you got to stay in the parking lot overnight. And the game was the next morning, next day. And so, you know, woke up to a sea of paper plates all over that parking lot. And it was amazing. But, of course, Buffalo blew them out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've watched a lot of Kansas City games back when Otis Taylor was doing his thing with, you know, Lemmy Dawson, Raiders. I've met Al Davis in the stadium one morning. I've done a lot of stuff, you know, NFL-wise that I was through with them when the Chargers got blown out of San Diego here and walked away.
You know what? Jerry, I'm going to be honest. I think you'd apply. I think we're going to let you in.
And the cold weather thing, I got to beat criteria one. I lived in Northern California for about 10 years.
Okay.
And I saw the inversion where you talked about it was dark all day and it stays gray the whole time.
Oh, Jerry, thank you. We're up against it. That is like my worst. I could not live in a place that's either light all the time or dark all the time. That is so crazy. I think Jerry ticks off two important ones. Had to have lived in a cold weather place from October to May in one calendar year and had to experience heartbreak with the other teams that you root for.
Yeah, he's in.
I've got two more rules for you. Get to them next.